Welcome to the Happiness Podcast. I'm Dr. Robert Puff. This is part four of a four-part series on relationships. In part one, we looked at how to be a great partner or friend. In part two, we looked at how to find a great partner or friend. In part three, we looked at how to keep a great partner or friend. And then this last part, part four, we're going to look at how to deal with the loss of a great partner or friend. I know what some of you may be thinking. I'm going to keep my relationship to the very end. And that may be the case, but many of us won't be doing that. And even if we make it to our death, one of us is going to die first, and the other one has to go on and deal with the loss of their partner, friend. So this is something we are all going to face, and it's something important to learn how to deal with well as we navigate the course of life and relationships. Let's begin by looking at why do relationships end. The simplest explanation is one of the partners dies, and then the relationship ends at that point. We all get that. Not everyone lives forever, and one of us is going to die. So that's something that we're going to have to deal with throughout our life. It may not be our partner that we're spending our life with, but it may be our best friend. It may be our parents. It may be a dear associate of ours that we work with. But the truth is, relationships end via death. Sometimes people die, and we have to deal with that loss. But the main way we experience a loss of relationships is when one of the partners decides to end it. They're unhappy with the relationship, something has changed inside of them, and they don't want to be in the relationship anymore. It can happen to marriages, friendships. In many ways, we will all go through this. We may be the one ending the relationship, or we may be the one who gets left. But it's going to happen to all of us at some point in our lives. So how do we deal with this loss well? How do we deal with the end of a relationship, a partnership, a great love? Well, let's first talk about what if we are the ones that want to leave and it's not through death, that we decide to end a relationship. How do we do it? Well, the first thing we have to acknowledge is that we are going to hurt the other person most likely. So have we been very thorough in making sure that we want this relationship to end, that we've done everything in our power to make it work well? Because when one person ends the relationship, it's going to cause suffering. And one of the ways to be happy in life is to cause as little suffering to others as possible. I do know sometimes we have to set up boundaries because perhaps the person we're with has become an alcoholic, perhaps the person we're with has cheated on us, but we still need to do it if we're going to end it in a loving way. That's the most important thing. We have to end relationships lovingly. We are going to cause them suffering. Whatever they did to us, we don't want to inflict pain on them if we can help it. And I really think we can help it. I think no matter what they respond to, we can do it in a loving way. So often, I think we see people when they end relationships that they get very vicious, they get very cruel, and they attack the person. That is nothing but going to cause harm to that other person. And when we hurt other people, if we're a hurtful person, we are not going to be happy ourselves. So again, if we've been thorough and we really feel like we've done everything in our power to keep this relationship alive, but now it's time for it to end, we should do it in a very loving way. Again, they may respond back cruelly, attacking us, being vicious, but we need to maintain our loving stance and not attack back. Boundaries are okay, but not attack back, just saying, you can't cross this line or I'm going to leave, or even I'm going to get the police involved. But we can still do that in a loving way because we care for people. And if we care for people, no matter what they've done to us, we don't want to be vicious back. When we hurt other people, what happens is we will not be happy. And I know we're all listening to this podcast because we want to be happy. But one of the key factors of life is people that are mean aren't happy, period. So let's not enter that world of cruelty. Let's not enter that world of meanness. No matter what they've done to us, let's choose to be gracious. I mean, gracious may be we just don't talk to them anymore and we let them know that the relationship is over, but we don't have to do anything but that. And normally it's more than that. It's explaining to them what's happened. It's explaining to them how we've done everything we feel possible to make the relationship work. They may not agree with it, but it's always important at the key as we decide to end a relationship to do it lovingly, to do it kindly, because that person matters. And if we want to do well in life, we have to be kind, we have to be loving. Because when the dust settles, when they leave, what we always think about isn't what they said. What we so often think about is what we said. And let me use an example to really illustrate this point. Over the years, I've had the opportunity of working with many people that have been in a, what we call domestic violent type relationship, where there's violence occurring between two people. Usually it's one doing physical against the other. But what I've discovered over the years is that so often the people go back to the person that hurt them. And I think, why are they going back? But as I explore, what I see is that when the incident occurred where they got hit, their partner, before they hit them, had responded to the words that the person I was seeing was saying. They were saying very hurtful, very painful things. And then something physical happened. And so they go back because when the dust settles, they realize that, oh, he probably or she probably wouldn't have responded that way if I hadn't said that. And there's truth to that. So that's why I think in a relationship, it's always so critical to focus on ourselves and our behavior. Because then if we ultimately do need to end it, then we will end it well and kindly. But I also think that we often end relationships way too prematurely. We can work on it very hard, and we should really feel that we've really worked on it. Because again, like I said, when the dust settles, are we really going to look back and say, wow, I wonder if I should have tried harder? So often we leave, not because we worked hard at it, but because we want something else. But I think it's important, particularly when there's children involved, that we really work on relationships as best as we can. There are professionals out there that can help us, like me. There are people out there and groups that we can go to attend. There's people that love us and support us that can help us. We can read books. There's so many things we can do, particularly, as you know, being that great partner, always focusing on being that great partner. And once you become that great partner, then let's see how our partner responds to that. Not what are they doing wrong, not what's wrong with them, but am I being a great partner? And now let's see what they respond to because of my changes. We may find that they do a lot better, and we can perhaps be in love with them, or at least maintain a great friendship with them. But the key is always to focus on ourselves, do everything in our power to make it work well. And if it ultimately doesn't work well, then we end graciously, with love, kindly. I mean, we really want to fry that in our brain. We're not going to send mean texts. We're not going to talk badly about them to other people. We're not going to find the most vicious lawyer and create lies so that we win in court. We're not going to do that. We are going to be loving and kind. Yes, set up boundaries so that they can't hurt us back, but we're not going to respond back in kind. Because if we do that, you'll never find a person who is vicious through the ending of a relationship that ultimately ended up being happy. You're not. Look at the people that you know, to test this one. Look at the people that you know that have gone through vicious endings of relationships. I mean, they played a part in it. They really were vicious in the relationship as it ended, even if they were the victim, and see how happy they are now. You probably will find they're not very happy. I do think they can heal from it, but it takes time. Better just not to participate in that ugliness. So again, relationships end. Sometimes we end them, but if we end them, let's make sure we do it in a loving and kind way. The next way that relationships end is that we are left, and that can happen to all of us, again, through death or through someone we're with breaking up with us or not wanting to be friends with us anymore. That can happen. So how do we deal well with that? Well, we all know that we can't control life in regards to death. I mean, someone is going to die first, and we can't control that. And mind you, these endings can be horrible, even though we had nothing to do with it. We have been with this person for years, and they get killed by a car crash. We've been with these people for years, and they are diagnosed with cancer and given only 6 months to live. I've had situations like that happen to me, and they're hard. They're very, very challenging. And we have to deal with them. And then the other way they end is by the person asking the relationship to be over. They are done with us and they don't want to be in a relationship with us anymore. That is the second way relationships end. And these two can be equally hard, sometimes even harder, because we're being rejected. With death, of course, it's incredibly hard. I mean, incredibly hard. But when someone leaves us, when they reject us, that can be incredibly hard too, perhaps even harder, because not only are they gone, but they have chosen to leave us. But in any case, both are hard, and both we're probably all going to face, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member, or whether it's our mate, we're all going to face it in life. It's going to happen to us most likely. So what do we do? How do we deal with the loss of a relationship? When it comes to loss of a relationship, we suffer because we believe that that was something permanent instead of being a gift. So what we need to do in order to get over the loss of a relationship is to acknowledge what anything we have is. Everything we have is impermanent. It will change. So everything we have is a gift, not something we have to have, not something we need to have. It's something that we would like to have. It's a preference, but it's not something we have to have. I won't be happy unless I have this person in my life. It's going to cause us to suffer. Because even if we have the most amazing relationship, like I said, sooner or later, that is going to change through death, through the breaking of the relationship, through the relationship going through ups and downs. It is going to change. So it's the attachment to a relationship that causes us to suffer. And I actually believe when we get this, when we really get how important it is to not be attached to a relationship, we actually love even better, because then every day is seen as a precious gift. And when if we see relationships this way as a precious gift, when they do change, we will be sad, sometimes very sad about that loss, but we realize that is part of life. We aren't guaranteed anything at all. Of course, we're going to do everything in our power to keep the relationship alive. Things that we care about, we work towards. But ultimately, they can and sometimes do change. And so when that change happens, we need to feel that. We need to express the sadness over that. And then we need to live. We need to live with that which we have left. And life is replete with activities and joys and things that we can love. We're suffering because we think we have to have this one thing. Think of it this way. Pretend we have a garden, and that garden is called life, and that we really love roses. But for some reason, the roses all die out on us. But let's say for some reason there's a disease that attacks the roses and they die on us. Wouldn't we think it's silly if we had all these other flowers out there that were so beautiful, but we were grieving, particularly over the loss of that one flower? That would seem silly to us. Well, life is like that. Our relationship may be like that rose, but sometimes roses get infected, sometimes they die. And though, of course, we will be saddened over the loss of that dear friend of ours or our mate, we still need to enjoy all the other beautiful things God has given us. And there are so many beautiful things to be with in life. When we learn how to let go and love all the gifts that we do have, we're going to do so much better. Part of what we need to acknowledge is the difference between sadness and depression. When we're sad, we grieve, and then we feel better. When we're depressed, we still grieve. The tears may still be flowing, but afterwards we don't feel better, we feel worse. Because what we're doing is, instead of just expressing the grief, we are in our mind creating stories like, I'm never going to be happy again. Why did this happen to me? What's wrong? Those keep us stuck. Healthy expression is, I'm going to miss that person. It's very sad that they left, but I'm going to be okay. I'm just going to let myself grieve. Let me use an example to illustrate how this works. Years ago, I had a cat that I just adored. He was just a sweetheart, and him and I, we had a very special bond. One day I came home, and he was very sick, and I discovered that he had feline leukemia, and he died shortly after that. But when he was alive, we had this one song that every time it came on, I'd pick him up and swing him around the room and dance with him. I don't know if he liked it or not, but I sure did. Anyways, whenever I heard that song after he died, I would cry. I would cry during most of the song. It felt good afterwards. I felt, ooh, I feel so much better. But I did allow myself the tears to flow. And it took a while. It actually took about 2 years. Not that I cried every time I heard the song for 2 years, but it took about 2 years to where I could hear that song and not have any tears flow. That's healthy grieving. I didn't spend all my time grieving. It was a very limited amount of time I spent grieving, but I did allow myself to grieve. Of course, if it's our mate that has died or has left us, we're going to spend more time grieving, but it still should be limited. If we're all day grieving, if we don't find ourselves feeling better after we grieve, then we're struggling with depression, not sadness. Sadness heals. Depression keeps us stuck. So what we need to do is realize that as we go through the grieving process, there are no guarantees in life. Of course, relationships end, and life is full. It has so many things that we can enjoy, and we do need to enjoy all of them. And when we do that, life is going to go better. We are going to feel better, and we're going to realize that this is the best way to live life anyways, when we love well, but we're not attached, realizing that everything that God gives us is a gift. Then when that gift is taken away, we will be sad, but our lives will go on. Now mind you, it's going to take time to heal, so we have to be gentle with ourselves. Perhaps projects we've been working on, we're going to take a break from. Perhaps activities we're involved with, we're going to take a break from. We're going to do things to make sure we have that time to heal. And if we don't, then we're going to suffer. So part of the healing process is being kind to ourselves. Perhaps getting involved with a support group. Just doing things that are gentle and nice towards ourselves, because we're in a grieving process and we need to be nice to ourselves and take the time to heal, not drown it with alcohol or get super busy. Those don't heal, those just suppress. And sooner or later, that grief will come rushing back in if we don't take the time to heal it. We have to take the time to heal, but we're going to do that in moderation. We don't spend all our time healing, that's probably going to be depression. But if we take a little bit of time every day, giving ourselves time to think about what we've lost, giving ourselves sadness, even anger as a ways of expressing it, but not at the other person, which is part two. It's very important when a relationship ends that we don't lash out at the other person to their face. I mean, we may write in a journal and say things that we're angry about, but we don't show it to them. We need to be kind towards the other person when they leave us, whether it's through death or through them choosing to leave us. Kindness is the best thing we can do to heal. We need to take the time to heal. And we're going to do that if we give them the space, we're not constantly reaching out to them, and we're not abusing them. Because I think a lot of times when people are hurt, they want to hurt back. And that will not end. That will just keep us stuck for decades. And we're not listening to this podcast to be stuck for decades. We're here to learn and to grow. And given that we're here to learn and grow, I want to talk about one thing that we can do to make sure we're seeing the loved ones in our lives as a gift. What we want to do is sometimes actually imagine them not being there anymore. Perhaps our spouse has asked us for divorce. Perhaps our kids have died. Perhaps our best friend doesn't want to be our friend anymore. It isn't that we're creating it, it's just we're making sure that our heart sees it as a gift, sees it as something which it is impermanent, it is going to change. And if our heart can say, of course I don't want that to happen, but if that happens, I will be okay. What we're going to find is that we will be okay if it happens. The second thing we'll find is that we will love better because we will see them as a gift, and we are better with gifts than we are with possessions. If we see them as something God has given us to enjoy now, not something we're guaranteed to have forever, we will love better. Try it. The only person we're guaranteed to travel life with is ourselves. So we love those who join us on that journey, but sometimes they do change. Sometimes they do take on different forms and are different people, but we can still love deeply. And if we allow our hearts to heal when something ends, and then with time move on to the next relationship, we're going to do a lot better in life. And remember, we travel alone ultimately. So let's make sure that we're taking good care of ourselves, that our hearts are in the right place, and that we are loving ourselves and loving others, learning to be happy in the here and now, right now. Thank you for joining me on the Happiness Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about the world of happiness, please go to www.happinesspodcast.org. That's happinesspodcast.org. And if you'd like to help and tell others about this podcast, if you go to the website, you'll see a Yelp icon on the top left, and you'll see a G+, which stands for Google Plus. Click on either one of those, and you'll see leave a review on each site. And you can leave a review, and this will help others learn about the Happiness Podcast. Until next time, accept what is, love what is.